Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Those of you that are used to Awakenings every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m., and you're listening to this archive, this is an impromptu program, a verbal, virtual tweet, if you will. And those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about Awakenings. Awakenings highlights conscious living for conscious lives. It's the place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, metaphysicians, spiritually minded people, and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are awake, waking up, and taking this awakened state into their everyday living. Here we focus on a timely relaying of information, bridging science, spirituality, and technology. It is a place where innovation leads the way. And if you'd like to call in with questions or comments, the call-in number is 347-539-5122. And those of you that are already joining in the Awakenings chat on Blog Talk Radio, welcome to all of you. And if you do have questions or comments in the chat, if you'll type in caps, I can more easily see. And we also have email as well as text message coming in, and also tweet chat on Twitter. And the hashtag for that is uppercase AWK chat. So I'm really excited about today's show, really inspired with what is happening in social media and how people are using specifically Twitter for causes and to initially virtually connect, but then also have those meaningful connections go into movement, into positive channels to better people's lives, or connect in ways that make a difference. And we're going to be hearing a bit about that tonight, because the panel that we have assembled, as well as the people that will be calling in, are using social media in a different way. Even if it's to do business or connect with customers, it's happening in a way that is beyond dollars, that the value of a person is beyond simply dollars or a number, but that there is a meaningful connection. And this goes anywhere from looking at social media and branding, connecting with a we're going to also talk about Twitter lists. What are Twitter lists, and what are the implications of the list, and where is the list going, and where is Twitter going, and how is Twitter a part of disruptive innovation? Many of the people that are on the panel were at the 140 conference in LA, which had some amazing insight, amazing speakers, but most of all, amazing connections. And that is really, in my estimation, what social media is about. It's about those meaningful connections. And then what do you do with those meaningful connections? So just to introduce our panel here, we have Scott Brandon Hoffman, who on Twitter is The Entertainer, and he is a life coach, comedic, as he likes to say, a spiritual badass, but helping people make those times go, help them go through their times of transition and change with a little bit of humor and understanding. We also have Calvin Lee from Mayhem Studios, which is an award-winning design firm located in Los Angeles. And this studio is known for developing identity and brand recognition for the business sector across the nation, and he's at Mayhem Studios. We also have with us tonight Kirsten Mitchell, who's a mythologist. She is the founder of Deep Mythology Media, which explores how stories we tell, the names and images we display consciously and subconsciously influence perception, and she's at Kirsty. And we also have Beth Freitstack, who is just Bite Stack who is joining us, and she's going to tell us a little last-minute person but to the panel, but very, very insightful and informative. So we're going to let her give a bit of a description after we go through. We also have Chad Lilly, who many of you know is the founder of Inner Circle Publishing and Revolution Press, and also the founder of Aware Talk Radio. We also will have Samantha, a goodwill tweeter, if you will, who will be joining us in a bit as well. And Beth, if you want to tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, everybody. Hi, how are you? I'm Beth Freistack, and I'll tell you, I love Twitter. What I do, I work with, I'm the corporate person, if you will, in Twitter, and I work with large corporations and talk to them about how to work their integrated marketing communications. I think the largest thing that I've found is that it's really the smaller entrepreneurial companies that get it. Most of the large corporations really have a hard time, and it's not all of them, but I think a lot of the large companies that I work with either are too afraid of engaging with their customer or they don't know how to. So I work with them to help them through that, and that's what I do. So thanks for having me tonight.
Wonderful. Great for you to be here, as well as everyone else that's on the panel. Each of you are forward-thinking and progressive in your own sectors or fields, so I really look forward to hearing from all of you. And I think I really want to open it up and say that if just in the beginning, so people can kind of get acclimated to your voice, if you'll just first start with saying your name and then whatever you want to share. Those of you that are calling in, we have other listeners listening online. If you do have a question or comment or want to share something, just press 1 on the keypad, and that will give me an indication that you have a question or comment. Really will just help me see better on the switchboard. So but let's jump off here into let's chat a bit. Chad Lilly. And get a little bit of hello, Chad.
But what are we here for? That's really the question on the tip of everyone's tongue now, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that in the back? What? And I think it's twofold. Why are we here? You know, why are we meeting tonight? And why are we on Twitter? You know, and maybe Beth, you can even open that up since you're working with corporations. Do you see a different mode or a different modality of use for people in a corporate setting using Twitter as opposed to individual, or do you really see that it's one and the same?
Absolutely, I see a difference, and I think it's I think it's company to company. It's very different. So for my personal, I am Beth Freistack. That is me. That's who I am on Twitter. I represent a corporation, although I don't represent myself as that because people, right, and the people that are on the phone and that I met at 140, and you want to get to know me. And I think that is the key where, you know, some of the largest corporations, you know, not to be nameless in the Fortune 10, you know, really don't engage. They're on Twitter to push information out to people who might be following, but they're not getting it. They're not engaging and saying, hey, thanks for this, or utilizing it for customer service, or, you know, Ford is a great example of a company that gets it, that engages with their customers, that talks to them at a personal level. It's not all about the company. And I think that at a large company and a large corporate level, chief marketing officers have to realize that the brand as it is in an advertising medium such as magazines and publishing is very different than how you're going to communicate with someone on Twitter, because in a magazine I'm going to turn a page, which is very important, and I'm going to see that brand. But on Twitter, you need to be engaged. You can't just push. So I kind of I don't know if that answers it, that question.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does, because I wondered about that. So if there is that push, do you think that people lose their connectedness or their reach if there's that over-pushing?
I think if there's over-pushing, you lose your following, right? I think that most people that are on Twitter are there to be engaged with either a brand or a company, and I follow many of them. But when I'm engaging with at Ford, I know who I'm speaking to, and I know I will get a response if I send a tweet. Whereas if I'm doing that for another company, I probably won't, because they're not being engaged. And there are a lot of, large financial organizations, financial companies that are, concerned about, are there legal implications of us being out there on Twitter as a corporation, and what about our employees? Can our employees even be on Twitter? And do they have to have a corporate account versus a personal account? So it gets into a lot of details that are somewhat boring for others, but exciting for me.
I'm going to make a confession. I found the lawyer's talk at the 140 conference fascinating.
And this is
the whole concept of
now what was.
Yes, it's Kirsty. I found the lawyer's chat panel at 140 conference fascinating.
It was great.
It was really fascinating. And intellectual property, who owns, if you're a personality, a person, or a persona, if you're representing, is the CEO the brand? Is he an individual? Mm-hmm. All those questions are really fascinating to me. And I do think that some Chris Brogan branches those two, he sort of straddles that the trust agent versus the promoter, marketer. It's a very delicate balance to do that job professionally and authentically and not turn people off, but really people are just drawn to him like a magnet. And your energy, Beth, reminds me of his, or vice versa. Maybe he's cupping you.
Yeah. And Calvin Lee of Mayhem Studios, how do you use Twitter, let's say, in your individual life as well as professional with the work that you do?
I think I just combine all the tweets, professional and personal, together. Seems to help people to see me as more of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring out more personal stuff, like food, like at birthday parties, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. So you're seeing people will see you more as a person. Do you think that people now want to work with people that they see more real or more realistically?
Yeah, I think so, because before I started out just doing this business stuff, I started branching off, and I guess people kind of responded to that. They really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And Chad, how about you? What are your thoughts on this?
I think that it almost sounds a little strange, because if you weren't being yourself in the stream, what exactly would you be being? And I have a hard time following. You said the difference between professional and personal. If you're in business, then your business deals with people. I don't care if you sell tires, books, websites, whatever. The real business is people. Connecting with people is the key to it all. And I see these tools like Twitter, obviously, is one of the best ones that we've found, as well as Blog Talk. The way we're doing this show now, the ability to connect so many millions of minds, I'm interested in what we could really do with it if we really wanted to do something with it. Because right now, the collective reach that we all share, just the people on this phone, there's corporations that would pay tens of thousands in advertising to get it every month and still wouldn't. And yet we have that with just what, a spur of the moment, a decision with no planning? That's powerful. That's if we decide to use it for anything. But I really would not like to see the stream watered down with ads for Coca-Cola and Betty Crocker, because personally, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of.
And
that's Scott,
me. I'm on Twitter
Austin,
for this.
What are your thoughts? Right. Right. Scott Brandon Hoffman,
yeah.
What are
yeah.
your thoughts on this?
Well, I've always been first and foremost about being real and being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I even created a new brand called the Just Do You Revolution because I have worked in the background. I do a lot of business work too, and I do a lot of consulting and coaching and training and things like that. And I've seen so many of the people behind the scenes, just like the other conversations we were just having, about people just pouring tweets out like, you know, how to get more followers or, you know, how to get tons of people to click on your links. And it's like everything's about how to get, and nothing about, you know, about engaging and getting value. Like, you know, my response is when I see those tweets that go out, you know, get 5,000 new followers by clicking here or whatever, I'm like, you know what, get 5,000 followers by being real, adding some value and doing something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always been my attitude. And I really built up my list and my following, and just all the relationships I've ever built on social media was always, always, always done first by seeing how I could add value to people and how to support people and how to make a difference out there and, you know, get a few laughs because I like to do that too. And business, you know, business comes in the back door like you wouldn't believe. I mean, you get all these DMs
exactly.
about joint ventures and how can I hire you, or, you know, it floods. And it's the same whether it's an individual solopreneur or if it's the big corporation, it's the same kind of thing. And, you know, just like the other talk we were just having a few seconds ago, it doesn't matter if you're IBM or you're a tire shop or you're selling toasters. It's like if you don't engage with your customers and you don't be real and you don't, you know, have conversations, then to me it's just a big marketing pitch, and it's like living but not living.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'd want to ask you, and also everybody, just, you know, free for all, you know, you can talk over each other, it's fine. So, but I, you know, Beth,
really?
I guess I would ask you, do you feel that perhaps the way people do business, whether big or small, is changing, and is Twitter a reflection of this?
Hmm.
Or has it changed?
Well, I don't think that. I mean, is the way that people are doing business changing? Well, no, I don't think so. Is the way that people are engaging with their customers changing? Absolutely. And if you're not on,
okay.
you know, the train, you're left back at the station. I think that, you know, if you look at ExxonMobil is a perfect example of the Fortune 1 corporation of this, you know, year, you know, has absolutely no followers and they have no engagement and they're not on Twitter. They just don't get it. Well, a competitor, Chevron, Fortune 3, you know, where they may not have a large amount of individuals they follow, they have a pretty large following for a big corporation. They're engaged on
mm-hmm.
a daily basis with a human being. And I know I'm talking to Justin, and he's going to be there for me, and he's going to engage with me. And that pulls me to their brand when it really puts, you know, ExxonMobil as this kind of secondary thought. And I think what corporations don't think about is that one individual, whether it be myself or Cal or Chad or, you know, anyone on this phone call, can promote a brand positively or negatively any way they
mm-hmm.
wish. And I think that this medium, Twitter, is such a phenomenal way for either of those. So you can have a negative situation and turn it around, or you can have some enormous positive influence and also, you know, allow individuals to see what you're doing as a company. So
mm-hmm.
I agree with
that. I keep hearing engagement. Go ahead.
But I heard a parrot too. There was something chirping.
Yeah, I did.
Chad, are you chirping, dude?
That's not me. That's not me.
I was just going to say if I can jump in for a quick second, what comes to my mind is, I forgot what chapter it was in Gary's book, you know, Gary Vee's book, Crush It. He had a whole chapter, and the entire chapter was care. I think
yep.
it was like the best business model or whatever. It's just, it's caring. And I think that so many corporations, again, lose the humanity, mm-hmm. and they're just only concerned about the bottom line. And my humble opinion, the world is changing. And if you're walking in those pair of shoes and that kind of business mind and that kind of business model, you're going to be out, because people are waking up, and we control the brands now a lot more than the companies do. You know, because it's like was just said, Twitter is like a wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
If you do something, or you're ignoring people, or you don't treat people right, it's going to be all over your search.twitter and all over hashtags. And what are you going to do, hide behind your little cubicle and just like say, no, but we're big. We don't have to talk to anybody, or we don't have to treat anybody like humans. So, you know, I think the day and age, I think everything has just shifted, and it's like a reflection of what's going on in the group consciousness as we kind of tilt the wheel to the other side.
I think it's funny that it almost eliminates or negates all the money, time, energy, and resources they put into advertising
mm-hmm.
to direct people's line of sight, and yet here's something that does it even more effectively, faster, and for absolutely free.
Not actually.
I saw something.
It's curious.
Oh, okay.
It does take time and investment and authentic engaging. It's not free in the sense it doesn't cost money, but it costs something that they're not willing to invest necessarily, or don't understand how to invest, or can't communicate in 140
right.
characters.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're just sitting there retweeting the same link of look at this, do this, you know, promoting something, I guess getting paid to promote something, even if you did that, your words would have little validity. No one would listen anyway. So
right.
mm-hmm. I guess it's not really.
Part of what I see in there, I love
reach isn't for hire.
Right. Well, if we look at perhaps, Michelle here, if we look at perhaps money as a form of energy, you get so much energy, you know, you could get something. If I have so much energy, I can, you know, buy a car, a house, or, you know, I don't know, a veggie burger, whatever. I think that what's happening now is that it's no longer about buying your reach, or, you know, buying your brand, or buying your brand to be put at the top. Like Kirsten was saying, the investment, that is a form of energy. I mean, you know, if you think of somebody, you hire someone to do house cleaning, you know, because you don't want to do that. You're still, or you put your own time and energy into it, or you pay someone to do it. So I think one of the largest commodities, well, I think there's three. There's major, larger commodities that I think that are coming in are resources, renewable resources, and that is time, or time equals money, because you have to put time in on Twitter to have those meaningful engagements. And if you're not tweeting yourself, people are going to sniff you out. Somehow you're going to get called out. And then the other thing I think is creative expression or innovation, whether you're a disruptive innovator, you're changing things up. And then inspiration. You've got to whether keep inspired or inspire others to do what they need to do. And I think somehow that these three qualities, if you will, or focuses, are going to be more important than we could even ever imagine in the coming years. And somehow, social media, especially a live stream like Twitter, fits into that, where you get what you need. You get exactly what you need by putting your time, your energy, your focus into the stream, and then it's attracted back to you. Anybody, any thoughts on that?
Definitely reflected back to you quick.
Yeah, wildfire. That was great. Wildfire. I hadn't heard that metaphor. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's just true how fast do you see, like, when there's news out there? Like, I mean, even, you know, a lot of us live in L.A., right? So, like, whenever there's, like, a little rumble in the ground, how fast do we see the little, you know, the, like, earthquake hashtag flying around L.A. or Los Angeles? People talk, and they talk fast. And
yeah.
And you know, Michelle, what you just said is what's always stands out to me. It's like, and you know, I don't know how deep or woo woo we can go, or how far
very
down
deep, and
very
deep,
and very deep.
Okay, because you know, I'm like on I call it level two now. It's like this goes way beyond all the other hoo ha's. But you know, energy is everything. It truly is. It's just all this energetic things that are being tossed out, and it all comes back one way or the other. And you know, it's kind of like, who's elevating and who's sinking? And you know, what's your agenda? What's your spiritual agenda for your life and for your corporation and for your company and for your people? It's just, things are just changing. You know, I think people are just talking a lot more. And even people that don't necessarily know the lingo or maybe even have read all the books or have gone real deep, they still feel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about that, Michelle, the idea that you plug that many people into instantaneous exchange of thought, then they become a huge social organism that functions more efficiently because all the cells are in instant contact. And that is what Twitter is. Yes, and we have that now. Whether or not we've ever had it at any other time is debatable, but one thing that isn't is we've got it right now, and we could use that for really anything we want to manifest, anything, any, you know, thought we want to throw out.
Well, and I think what Beth was saying earlier about, you know, that you're going to be able to talk to Jason. If you call, there's that one-on-one, you know, maybe that's your trust agent there. There's that meaningful connection. That means there's an investment, and maybe no longer the best investment is only going to be dollars and hopefully common sense. But it's also who is really meaningfully engaging me, who really cares about me as a person or a customer or a client, and who do I really want to do business with because we have similar values, principles, or beliefs, and that is guiding us together instead of an ad campaign.
What if it's not about me? What if I'm just offering something that greatly impacts another person and changes their perspective and offers them something who has absolutely nothing to offer me in return? That's okay, too. The idea
that
what's in it for me. And
but you're always getting something, though. That's the thing, though. That's, I think, what you receive, even if you're giving. You know, I tweeted things out, you know, for meditations for free, people needing help or insight. And the thing is, I'm receiving an energy exchange there. I'm now even more inspired.
And I don't even mean a product, Michelle. I just mean just an idea or thought. How many times have you been on Twitter and you've seen a thought that, and you just went, whoa, you know, I never really looked at it like that before, and now that I have, everything's different. And that is a gift. That's something that you received. And again, you may not even be able to offer that person anything in return, except for a retweet. But the bottom line is I feel like there's a lot of that going on, and the impact of that could change the world of business more than anyone's ever thought possible, and quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes a retweet is worth a lot.
Yeah.
It's the echoes of reverberating.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kelvin, what do you think that retweet, in a sense, is saying? How would you describe that to people that didn't really know Twitter or new to Twitter?
I guess it's kind of like you like their content when somebody retweets your tweet. They like saying that they really like it. They want to share with others.
Mm-hmm.
And they see value in enough to share it.
And I think they resonate with it too. You know, I think it's like they're like, yeah, right on, or like, you know, because I had some stuff that I put out today, and people are, you know, before the retweet, they'll say like, hell yeah, or whatever. So they're like agreeing with you, or they're saying I'm this person, or I have that thought, or if it's, you know, or if it's content about business, whatever. Yeah, it is. It's just, it's like people hop on that train and they're like, I'm sharing it. I'm part of this. I feel like this is me. You know, whatever it may be, it's just a sign that they're, you know, excited about it, hopefully.
and they're mm-hmm. actively engaging it to their audience. They might,
yeah.
they might have an audience a lot larger than yours, and yet by them appreciating it and sharing it with their audience,
mm-hmm.
now they spread that idea to unique people who wouldn't have seen it if they hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get
Perfect.
That. You can't get that at marketing school.
No.
Don't tell everybody.
How to go viral.
How to go
viral. And you know what? And believe me. Huh? Oh, I was just saying that. I'm sorry. We're all trying to talk at the same time.
No, finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say that no names mentioned or anything, but I know a lot of people that come together and say, hey, you know what, we'll all retweet each other's stuff. You think that doesn't show up as energy too? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I forget who said it, I don't know if it was Chad or someone, that if it's not real, I mean, even everything in Twitter, behind every tweet, just like anything else, there's energy.
Yeah.
I have a sign on my desk that's next to my weird-looking meditation guy that freaks me out, to be honest with you. And there's a little sign that says, put divine intention into everything you do. And you could use that on Twitter. You can literally take every one of your tweets, whatever it is, and put that out, and people feel it. And if you're just doing stuff again to see how many clicks or opt-ins you can get or what, and not being real about it, then, you know, people are going to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got an interesting comment in the chat, and hopefully he's calling in. We're going to get to the phone lines because we have some other people calling in. By the real K Dub, what good is innovation if people aren't aware of its existence or how to use it, and people turn innovation into convention? Now, that's true. Sometimes there's something very innovative, which means it also has a lot of energy, usually a lot of buzz, and then people somehow want to put it in a box and make it conventional or somehow tie it to the old paradigm. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
But more importantly, he said he can't wait to move to L.A., so amen to that.
I do think that with Twitter lists, it's Kirsty. I think Twitter lists is a really great idea that can also be manipulated and twisted, but I think the
sure.
intention behind it is really fantastic, and it is a way to kind of gather your tribe or your twibe, your hive. You become your own queen bee, and you create your hive around you with the intention, you know, put in that list. I think nonprofits, that people are starting to actually now put nonprofit organizations in lists and make lists of those, and I think they can be incredibly useful tools. But if it's just people listing each other to list each other multiple times, and it's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's also
something
that can devalue it.
Yeah, please.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, is this Catherine Grison? Ask Catherine Grison.
Oh, Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, hello.
Bonjour. I was thinking about the list. I was listening to you talking about the list, and there is something that shocked me completely with the list. There are people who put on list people that don't follow. And if you don't follow the people, how would you say that they are the best, except if you put them on a bad list, don't follow them list, you know? But that would be actually an interesting one to do. Bad karma, but interesting. And so I was just wondering, what's the point? I saw somebody, and I will not give any name either, but I saw somebody saying today, oh, yes, I finished my list, now I can unfollow.
Now I can.
And I'm just like,
oh boy.
Interesting.
Calvin
yeah,
knows that
French
trick.
Yeah, this is French Street Cafe. Yeah, do you, Calvin?
Yeah.
Calvin Techie, give us the deal,
yeah.
Calvin.
French Street Cafe and your French accent, yeah, that's me. I mean, but you know, today I tweeted about, I got so mad with all the hate in the news, you know, about the shooting and everything, and people beginning to be extremely racist and it was totally insane to me the way it was propagating. So I decided to do a blog post about that, and I tweeted that immediately, my videos. I do small videos for the people who don't know me, and mostly inspirational. And it was amazing how many RTs I got. I mean, I got outed by people I never heard about. Now they are DMing me nonstop. I still receive DMs as we speak. It was like a big thing because finally it moved people inside, you know, so much. And I think it's all about building community. And for businesses also, it's the same thing. I think we can go through these rough times that are all over the world only by building community. And it's authenticity that is going to build community. It's not fake crap, if you excuse my French.
Right, right.
I use that
like
line all the time.
About building community. Okay, we have another Skype call. We've got two Skype callers. Caller number three, is Samantha on? I just got a tweet that Samantha's on the line. Samantha, are you on the line? Hello? Blonde by Design? Hello, I guess she's gone. Okay. And then another call, caller number 8 on the switchboard, another Skype call. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
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 You're on Awakenings Live. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sam.
Oh, hey, Sam. Hi.
I feel like I'm talking to Verizon. Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, well, because I can't see.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
There's a band of people here. I wanted to comment, too, about what Beth had said about companies and magazines and turning the pages, and when you turn the page, that's a part of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, when you turn the page, it's your tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about accountability and authenticity.
Absolutely.
And somebody has mentioned you can't fake that.
Nope.
Because it will catch up to you. And what people want is to be able to trust. So if you're going to be out there kind of trying to bullshit the masses, as we've all seen here and there, it's going to catch up. And the accountability and the authenticity will quickly be lost. You know, so like you've spoken about how quickly word spreads and hashtags. You know, that has a good and bad. We've also seen word spread with rumors and lies.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like so-and-so's died and they're sitting at their breakfast table having coffee with their family going, hey, I'm dead. You know, it's just all the stupid silliness. And what I find that, you know, it's a universal connectivity, and it's universal, it's international, it's an opportunity for people to come together, and I find as a whole, although there is good and bad, people want to do better, people want to know, people want to find another level, to grow, to evolve, and those that aren't evolving and are staying in the old energy and staying in a place of trying to play their own little games and their own little, like, backstabbing or bickering or, you know, kind of like Snark World, they're going to get washed up sooner or later because of the evolving and the desire to grow and walk on a higher ground. Corporations that aren't cleaning up their oil spills are becoming corporations that don't have the following, don't have the popularity. It doesn't matter whether you're a corporation or you're a person. Are you authentic? And if you're authentic is really the bottom line, whether you're turning the page on the magazine or sending out a tweet.
Amen.
It's really that simple. What are you putting out there? How are you contributing? You know, it's like we see the spam, but it's simple. It's very, very simple. The other thing that I notice and I work a lot with, I've heard somebody mention you know, being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I work with masses that are discovering who they are because they don't know. And so Twitter is a place of self-discovery, so people are going to make mistakes. And because we're human, then we need to forgive. Because everybody's not going to do it perfect. I'm not going to do it perfect. You're not going to do it perfect. So we're all growing and evolving, and that's where, too, community comes intact.
Yes.
Supporting.
Really good point. Because I think there is this thing, and anyone can speak to this. And by the way, is the real K-Dub on the line?
Yes,
I
am.
Wanted, Oh, great, because we got a 281-903 and a 773 person and another Skype call, so all lines are open. So, but I just want to say one little thing, because I'm the moderator.
You have to clear it with your panel first, though.
That's right. Can I speak, please?
If you must.
Sam, please.
Yes, honey.
You know what you brought up, I think, is really important, because there is this kind of social media, especially on Twitter, and I'm on quite a bit of social media, and Twitter has a whole, Twitter is actually my fave, but there is this kind of thing of how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a vibe out there.
It's how to do it right, and what I'm finding, you know, it's like, and this happens with corporations or people that are trying to come at it with a quick fix. I want to get rich quick. I want to make friends quick. I want this quick. I want that quick. Well, they're not getting it because they're not investing. They're trying to push and fit that square peg through a round hole. Twitter doesn't allow that. You have to engage. You have to connect. And then you have to go back to the core of authenticity. And if you are not an authentic person or you give a mixed message, it's going to come back at you.
Absolutely.
But isn't
instant karma?
Instant karma.
It's deeper than karma, because and it's also, like I said, it's a discovery, because people are learning to grow. The psychology we're dealing with today is light years above what our parents dealt with. We're evolving, we're growing, and now knowledge gets to us quicker. Just like news gets to us quicker, knowledge gets to us quicker, and then we have this whole complexity of, okay, what's real and what's not, because some of the masses want to believe something that's just put out there and tweeted. So now it's a search for truth, back to authenticity and accountability.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's have the real K-Dub jump in here.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Awesome.
Hey. Good.
Excellent. Well, I can, I guess, express how Twitter has worked for me just as a music producer first and foremost, because that's what I put out publicly, and that is a passion, and it's done pretty well for me. But what it had also opened up for me, just in terms of the level of energy exchange, the more I've allowed of myself to be a part of what I express, the more that I've been in a position to receive from people who are vibrating on the same level that I am. So I get a number of different levels of input from maybe people who aren't as spiritually advanced as I am, but I'm still able to interact with them and communicate with them and receive, as well as to provide for those people who are emerging and into a state of being awake, as well as being able to, in the middle of all of the insanity that goes on, that comes with the universal positioning of Twitter, that the ring of truth of what I put out about myself allows for people to see through the insanity and get to the real portion of what I'm putting out there about myself. That's actually how I connected with Chad, because I mean, people who follow me know I'm liable. I say crazy things. I'm in the studio. I'm having fun, but every once in a while, for people that I'm really trying to reach out to, I'll say things that are important, that have a substance, so that I can draw those people, whether it be into a DM or whether it be in connecting off of Twitter to have a real substantive conversation. Because you really can only say so much in 140 characters.
But there's an energy. Someone said that energy.
Which is a good thing, or us women would go on forever.
It's some of us sensitive guys have a little problem with that, too.
Don't you think it helps us be more compact?
Now, we have a 630 number. Are you?
That's me. That's Beth.
Oh, hey, Beth. Okay, cool. And what about the 650-219? Hello?
I have no.
Okay, there might be just listening. And then hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's the Verizon commercial.
Verizon is better.
The Three Stooges are coming back.
I feel like I'm going to have black hair and little black horn-rimmed glasses now.
I love crazy spiritual
people. And then
people.
another Skype caller. And then who's 281903?
That's K-Dub. That would be me.
Hey, K-Dub. Cool.
The K-Dub.
And the 773577?
That's me.
That's you. Who's me?
Yeah, you're love girl.
Lori! There you are. I knew it. I was feeling you.
You felt me.
Welcome.
Didn't you?
Hey, Lori. I know she's there somewhere.
You actually did feel me, didn't you?
So Lori and I were at the Crush
yes,
It
we
event
were.
With Gary V last night.
It was awesome.
Well, where did you guys go? Oh, that's right. You guys are local to each other. So Beth and Lori, okay, where did you guys go last night?
We went to the Gary V. Crush It event. He came in. He was in Chicago.
Chicago, right on.
And which is where we are. So it's like almost midnight here, and, which is why I'm a little woo.
My hometown, Chicago.
Well, it's a great city.
Yeah.
And he was just awesome. Authentic, real. The poor guy hadn't eaten all day. I went, and he just stood there and talked to people and signed books and talked and just it was awesome. There must have been 200 and some odd people there. It was really great.
It was fantastic. Chicago rocks. But I'm gonna tweet the picture right now. Me and Beth and Red Smitty.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So I was being quiet because we had people here. And now they're gone.
Oh, God.
Is that Lori?
That's Lori.
That must be Lori.
Yeah.
It is Lori.
Lori, it's Scott. How are you?
Hey, Lori, you couldn't stay quiet, could you?
There you are, my sweet mama. Yes, I'm very shy. I'm as shy as everybody here.
I know you're shy.
I'm definitely
shy. Exactly. I'm by design here.
Mayhem's here too. Mayhem Studios. Calvin's on the line.
But is
Sam
by design here?
Hey, Lori.
Yes, Blonde's
here.
Blonde by design.
Love you.
Blonde by design is here.
Because I want to tell you a story about her. Is she still here?
I'm still here.
Okay. Hi, Blonde by Design. Well,
hi,
Blonde by Design, what happened is, a lot of you know, my brother died really tragically in December. And I could barely talk for 7 months, really. And what happened is, when I kind of got back on Twitter, I think it was January or February, I happened to see Blonde by Design link. So I clicked on it. And she was crying about somebody who she lost. And she and I started DMing. You know, we don't tweet a lot outwardly, but that night she really changed and made such a major love connection in my life because I reached out to her. We didn't even know each other, but we shared something so tragic. And she was just so amazing to me. So, and when my brother died, I decided to make a year of a loving, healthy, healing journey. And, you know, I've been in Alaska with Wayne Dyer, and I've had the most amazing year. And you guys have all been a big part of it as well. And but Blonde by Design, it was just that first connection that I kind of got back on Twitter, and it was just through DMs. She just really embraced me. So
gave you love, sweetheart.
You did. And we've never even talked till now.
know.
Isn't that
How
wild?
Are you?
Wow.
Yeah, you know what, sweetheart? All I did was give you a verbal hug and embrace you because your pain was so great. The energy just kind of bled with, you know, from without you. And so all I did was give you love and give you strength
you
to
did.
Get back on your own feet.
You really did.
Well, but that is also another power of Twitter. It's how do you want to use it? How do you want to impact somebody's life?
And that's Chad's question there. What are you doing with the Twitter? What are you doing? Chad wants to know, right? What are you doing?
Well, see, isn't it cool that, you know, you've got the diversity from music and artists and major CEO companies and, you know, and individuals. So
it's the slice of life, right?
Yeah, it's the diversity of it all.
Yeah,
yeah, the diversity of it all is just awesome. It's amazing.
You know one of the things that's always really fascinated me is without trying or without using any little marketing tricks of like, you know, shopping for keywords, trying to find people that are into your whatever you're talking about, I've noticed on Facebook and on Twitter, just in general, you could have thousands of people that you're interacting with or that are kind of in your stream or on your Facebook or on your Twitter, and there's always a percentage of people that just kind of float up to the top that you magnetize and you connect with instantly. Like Chad. Like I said, Chad and I literally just met, 2 days ago on Twitter, Chad? And it's like we're like known each other for like forever. We're like DMing for like hours already.
Water and energy always find their own level.
And weirdos attract, which is really cool because, you know, it always works out that way.
No, I'm scared.
Spiritual badasses attract to each other.
Spiritual badass.
That's a nice list.
Yeah, I need to create that list.
I got a question here from an archetypal or mythological kind of point of view. Kirsten, this is for you. What do you see Twitter reflection of, if anything? Do you have any thoughts of this whole idea, you know, and even how people, you know, do their page and look at themselves in this?
Oh, you mean individuals or Twitter?
Well, or business.
Itself?
All of to me, it's all the same, individual or business, because what are businesses or corporations made of? Individuals. So you can talk either way.
I think it's a mirror, or it bounces back. It's a reflector. What your intention is, what you put out into it, is what comes back from it. And so, however pure and focused your intention is, that's sort of how much it amplifies. And the more you kind of cloud that with, you know, manipulation or trying to market it or trying to present yourself or your company a certain way for an effect, as opposed to just authentically, you know, speaking truth, but trying to manipulate, I think that it is a mirror and it reflects right back to you. And I do think it's really extremely effective that way, and it's kind of a magical mirror in that sense.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, a magical mirror.
Wow.
That could be
It's all a big reflection.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Beth here, are corporations, are they thinking of this as individuals and this reflection? Does that come into the corporate model?
Well,
or no?
You know, I think that it depends on the company. I'm working with a corporation right now on a really interesting project. They're very forward thinking, and they're now working on a project to reflect on what they call I'm really old, you folks. I won't tell you how old, but what they call the young up and comers, right? So basically what that means is the age of 22 through 35, which I am not. I mean, I turned 36 yesterday, of course.
Still are.
But what's really interesting is we're coming in to talk with them about how these, you know, I'm certainly not the future of my company or, you know, where marketing is going and social media. Am I in it now? Absolutely. But, you know, the people that are going to be making all of the purchases and decisions and things like that, you know, are now in that age range, that 22 to 35, and some are still in college and some are coming out. But they really want to know, how do we find these people and how do we engage with these people and what do we do and how do we do it? And I think that it's that type of a corporation that's going to be able to say at that level, whatever that means, and if that means I engage at this personal level with Beth Breistack, and I say, what is important to you, and how are you today, and oh my gosh, you made my day. You know, whatever it happens to be, I think those are the companies that are really going to make it, you know, as the years go on. Mm-hmm. And the others will, you know, kind of fly by because, you know, they've just been in the old, you know, as I call it, Mad Men media, right? Madison Avenue, Mad Men advertising, push advertising, and it's really changing. Relationships are everything. They're just everything.
I love that you say this the push. The old is the pushing, the push model. That's really.
And Seth Godin calls it interruptive marketing, and it's so true. It's like every time I'm looking on, if I'm watching, because I don't even own cable, I don't even own a TV anymore, and I'll once in a while turn on something like on Hulu or whatever, or on MSNBC video, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a commercial. I'm like, oh, thanks for interrupting me. This sucks. It's like I really don't want to see your stupid stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that style is just, you know, again, it's like let me slap your face and interrupt your personal space. And nobody wants to see it anymore. That's why the whole DVR came out. And that's and they're all scrambling. And, you know, I think, again, it's a top-down effect like everything else. Until business gets to the point where they say, you know what, we have to look at this from having, like, a soul and actually connecting to humanity, and our products and our services are what we do to serve others and not just, like, how can we sell more stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it.
Which
and we're, I think we as a community are just tired of it. We're sick of it, and I think that's why social media has changed everything. And I love it, you know, living in L.A. and also, you know, being all over the place as far as doing, you know, working with businesses, but also being in entertainment and that side of thing. I love that we can go online and create our own TV shows and build our own brands and have the eyeballs and fans that you don't need gatekeepers and you don't need threshold guardians in the mythical version anymore, and we can just kind of, you know, go out there and attract our own crowd with our own authenticity and our own voice.
Mm-hmm. Very
that
cool.
That's changed everything.
You know, the other thing that's really cool is that, you know, when we make purchases, and especially in this economy, when we spend our hard-earned money, that who we buy from has an accountability to us now that they've never had before. They can't just ditch us if something doesn't come right or if, like, they've collected money for our order and then we don't get our order.
Because we will tweet on their ass.
You know what? I had it happen with a company who I will let remain nameless because they cleared it up.
Right.
But they sent me expired product.
Oh my.
And then they didn't want to make it right. They said, well, you've had it for 60 days. I ordered 4 bottles, and it was the last bottle, and it was like, hey, you know, this was expired when I made the order. This was expired in March of 2009. I think you really need to rethink that. So they did make it right, but there's an accountability, whether it's Comcast. Obviously, Verizon's not on Twitter. They never hear me. They, you know, because I'm a notorious Verizon bitcher.
Well, don't get the AT&T crowd started.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about iPhone. Yeah, so but it does make them, you know, and they, some companies do step up to the plate and say, you're right. And mm-hmm. and they're the companies that are going to come out in the shuffle ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the one of the things that is part of a much larger consciousness shift that we're seeing, and I can speak on it just from the entertainment side of the business, for so long, so many products have been sold in an anonymous manner.
Yeah.
You know, basically mm-hmm. responding to that push model, which is I'm going to push you into the store, I'm going to push you to the website, you're going to purchase, and you're going to go away with my product, and then the cycle starts all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is that the smart businesses have started to take those anonymous transactions and turn them into personal transactions where people are being recognized and they're being treated differently. So you mm-hmm. have
it's brought a human form to it.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it is? It's
everything
like,
personal.
It's like we were talking mm-hmm. about, one of the things that I think has really stood out to me, and that's, you know, again, I'm on this big kick right now about the just do you thing, and it's like we want to hear our voices heard as a people and as our self-expression, and the other part of it is, like, I forgot who was mentioning, the people that have never given themselves permission to do that are now starting to wake up. Like, I have a ton of clients that all come to me from old school training, right? The old model, the interruptive, the manipulation, the 50-page sales letters, and the tactics, and the BS, basically. And it's like to strip that away and to say, hold it, you know, put all those tactics aside. Who are you? What do you stand for? What are you passionate about? What's in your soul? Let's start with that, and then we'll build your business model from there. And I think it's the same thing in all this communication that we just, you know, we all have voices and we want to be heard, and it's all about that, back to the very first thing we all talked about, which is engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That keeps coming up. I look at it, it's kind of like the mom and pop mentality of where business originally started from,
exactly.
or being, right? Just
right.
with new technology,
yeah. Yeah,
getting
exactly.
back to that sharing and care. What was talked about at the 140 conference, LA, sharing and caring, meaningful engagement. Chad, I want you to pop in because you have some ideas on ads. What's your thought with that, to kind of segue back to that?
Well, I just hear so many people wondering and asking aloud, you know, what's the most effective way to use this new tool for to advertise something? And the ironic thing is you guys did the best advertisement there'll ever be. You did it twice tonight. You did it inadvertently. You're not getting paid by Verizon to do it. And yet every time you do it, I'm serious.
Absolutely.
It sticks to the mindsets of masses. And because you did it in such a subtle, non-threatening, non-slap-your-space kind of way, it sticks to people in a way they'll never understand, but they'll always get it. They'll always get it. Because it's effective. And so once people learn that, that's the only thing they really need to know. And I don't care if they're the CEO of the biggest corporation in the world or the mom-and-pop store. The bottom line is the engagement, the interaction, and the ability to offer what people need in the stream and time that they need it. Because that's when things are relative. That's when it matters. If people in the stream were seeing questions about, oh, where can I get good phone service or something, so then someone else would step up and offer, oh, this is the best place I've seen for that, or this is the thing I've seen, or this is what I think about that, or don't go there. Either way, we've got a real-time network of connected people that is worldwide, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. So rather than someone being so diverted toward how can I use it to sell something, just learn to interact with it first, and it'll sell itself.
Chad, to that point, I was coming home from L.A., and I don't know where – I travel a lot. I don't remember where I was.
Is this Lori?
No, this is Beth. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi,
it's Beth.
Okay. Sorry, I'm on the phone now, so.
I'm sorry. I've got a little groggy kind of voice going on.
It took
here.
A half an hour before I realized Lori was on the phone. So, hi, Lori. I'm sorry. I was like, who is this woman? But anyway.
So, this is Beth. And I was, when I was coming home, I was traveling, and I literally, I was getting a horrible cold, and I think I was actually, Lori, talking, I think I was tweeting with you, like, really late at night or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm really sick, because we had this Gary Vee thing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't get sick. I have this horrible cold. What's happening? And literally, about 4 hours later, I had, and I gotten up that next morning, there was a tweet from, I can't remember who it was now, which is a horrible thing, but it was a personal tweet to me at Beth Freistack, so sorry you have a cold, take care of yourself, and it said, I hope you feel better. And it was the brand name of...
Oh, Coldies.
Old Coldies, that was it.
I saw
like,
that because I
was
called
awesome.
It Coldies.
I was like, how nice. I was like, oh, thank you. And then they tweeted back and they were like, are you feeling better this morning? I was like, yes. They never said, go buy my product, go get this. They were just like, I hope you feel better. And of course, like me being the consumer, I was like, oh, thank you. You know, it was great.
I think that's what people are missing. I think that's
yeah.
what the companies are missing out on. You don't really have to do it. It's, you know, it's like Gary Vee always talks about too, and it's just this is where we're at now as a group.
That's who we
it's
were
just,
with last night.
Just, yeah. It's yeah. I mean, it's just talk, right? It's like just
yeah.
care and just talk, and then people are going to start clicking on your links and buying your stuff.
And even if they don't.
And even if they don't, who
yeah.
cares,
even
right?
If they
yeah.
don't,
and
who
and
cares? Yeah, just
that
be in that creative play.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
if you
I wasn't trying
to all about the fit.
Yeah, I was just trying to say that's not my agenda because I've always put the, you know, caring and serving first, and, you know, no matter what, I don't care about all that back-end stuff's great, but it's like when you come through being authentic. But I'm just saying for the people that are in those big businesses and all that, you know, people just – that's what attraction marketing, that term that started, you know, before some of the stuff got a lot bigger, but it's just that's what attraction marketing is. Just be yourself, tell your story, be authentic, care about people, and then people are going to want to start knowing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And what,
I
know,
had
what
something indirectly. I think it might have been. I don't know who it actually. I think it happened to Kirsten, but I did see it on a RT from Calvin, Mayhem Studios, about something with Virgin Air. And then they had to respond back about the flight.
The sandwich. Did you read your sandwich, Cal?
It was Earth Explorer's sandwich.
It was Earth Explorer originally? Okay.
No, I think it was
Calvin.
It was you, wasn't it?
It wasn't me.
It was you.
Calvin's like, there's a song. That's a song. It wasn't me. Well, it inspired me. Some stuff was going on for me at Whole Foods with the packing, you know, and the use of paper and all this other stuff. So I didn't even think of, I just did a tweet about it, and I brought in, and I can't remember whose blog it was, but I had read something about how that your business is an extension of your brand, and everyone, your crew, everyone that works, I think it was on Wired.com actually. And I thought, that's it. People don't realize that everyone that works with you, for you, however you want to term it, is an extension of your brand. And maybe Calvin can even speak to more of this. And so I tweeted that out, and I got a couple tweets back from Whole Foods. Yes, we believe this, and we're doing better training, and thank you for your input and your insight. It was a great – I was like, whoa.
Nice. If
like,
they know how to use search.twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Foods, I mean, Whole Foods is one of those companies, just like Virgin Airlines. I mean, those are companies that get it. They're very progressive. They're hip. They're cool. They've got a young soul, so to speak, or an old soul in a young outfit, and they know how to take care of people.
Mm-hmm. Now we got a comment in the chat. Twitter chat, the BTR, which is good. But they're saying this sounds like the best methods of teaching. If you want your students to look for info because you sparked their interest. And Debbie is saying this is the same for sales, if you spark their interest. And I like that because, again, I think that goes back to what everyone has said and Beth has underscored. It's the engagement.
Yep. Sell the sizzle, not the steak.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we always
Now I'm going to go back to my time living in France. Go ahead. Okay. And Dr. Remy is listening also.
Can I switch in French now?
France or Brazil?
No, I was just thinking about my feng shui mentor a long time ago when I was graduating in feng shui. First thing he told me was like, we've got the client we deserve. And I think it's when we are talking about energies, you know, when I go to a consultation, I have a lot of times the clients who reflect in one way or another my own moments, whatever they are at the time I go to see them. And I think with the companies, it's going to be exactly the same. People will just get more and more the clients deserve.
Yeah,
because
and I
of
agree.
this screening, you know what I mean? Because we know more and more about companies, and if they don't interact the way we interact, we are going to just block them in real life.
This is what I loved, and for me, the most perhaps real extension of consciousness or people's thoughts or awareness is this. Live, semi-unfiltered, but less filtered than a lot of other forms of social media, the Twitter stream, you do begin to get these meaningful connections, these synchronistic connections. There begins to be this synergy, and you really do attract where your consciousness is, where your inner intention is or focus. Even if you're not verbalizing something, by what's coming back to you is ultimately reflecting your real intention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that I find, and that's to me, it's a microcosm of what happens in the world.
Right.
You know, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to dive in with each of us and get a little bit a take on this question or questions. And well, let's start with Chad. I'm just going to start in the list anywhere.
Chad in the house.
Chad in
the
house. What? What you
Twitter? Yeah, it's like, what did I get myself into with that Hoffman guy?
That's right. And also, what Chad? What do you see? What's your take on the list? And also, Twitter. Where do you see Twitter going, or this idea, this you know, outpicturing of this type of technology? The right now, Twitter, the one that's catching the most fire.
I like the list. That's the first thing, is I really like the
list.
Okay,
very cool.
Tell me what you like about the list. This is Beth.
It allows me to be able to focus on which streams I want to see. I've only created two lists, and I really don't know if I need any more, but the lists I'm following are streams that I want to see, or the people... the level of water I want to interact with daily, and I view those because I see them as interest. And because they're organic or user-generated, I find it fascinating the people that list me, they must see that same value in the stream just the same way I'm listing others. So that's what I like about it. It's going to change what the numbers mean, is the way I understand it. And it's the people that are gaming Twitter, scratching their heads, basically. They don't know how to get around the organic. What do you do? Sign up a bunch of accounts and get them to list you? There's just no way around the fact that it's organic or what is of interest to that particular person. So I think that's fascinating, and it is going to change the way the tides go on Twitter. Tides are influenced by motion.
Tides are influenced.
Currency. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah, it is. It's a certain kind of currency, which, you know, is, again, a certain type of energy. So you say you only – what are you looking for in your list? Is there a formula, or is it kind of a visceral, you know, intuitive –
Well, here's another beautiful thing. The lists are completely particular on what is it that you want to focus on. Because obviously if you're connected with many people,
you can get a lot of different information, all kinds of information, some of it you don't even want. But the ones that you really do want, for instance, Mindscapes, these are people that think. These are people that think out loud. These are people who think out loud that I like to listen to their thoughts. And so that's why they're on that list. And so regardless of the stream of nonsense of white teeth and Britney and all this other stuff that I'm just not there to hear, I can focus specifically on what I do here very quickly, look just at that, and interact with, again, those people. The other list is Voices with Reach. This is these are people that have reach. So that, let's say, I'm just making this up, but in the state of an emergency, if I wanted to broadcast a message to 6.8 million people, I could talk to them first.
Great.
But again.
And Lori, Moreno. Thanks, Chad. What about you?
What about me?
So, what do you think of these lists? I think the list is a hot, but everybody's buzzing about the list.
I'm so not into them, and I've been listed on 650 lists, and I have not made any. I get so tired of all of this stuff, like popularity contests. I am constantly meeting new people, and I don't know how that fit in, but it did for me. But it's like it.
But you, Tori, can I tell you something? I've been feeling very like, what's wrong? I haven't done one yet, and So to hear you say this is cool.
I haven't done one either.
Yeah, I'm on that. I'm on that page too. I just, the lists were work. And I've done a list, and I've rechanged the list, and I'm going to change it again. And then it became a popularity contest or a competition. I was so turned off. It's like if the list were my boyfriend, I would have broken up. I'm turned off by them, and I'm going to redo them again.
Who's talking? Is it Sam?
This is Sam.
Yeah, of course.
I
love them. I think it's a great idea, but I think that there needs to be a flow or a pacing. And
I think Twitter made them to keep you keep your addiction even stronger. I do.
You get it on their revenue stream. You go on Twitter.com.
I'm putting that in the chat.
No, you are not.
I have to admit, 6 months ago, I started a Twitter 12-step program.
Oh, my God.
Can you send me the information?
You can talk to Lucy.
And I've since only allowed myself to be on the third step, so I can only tweet like I don't know, 100 tweets a day or something.
Okay, give me the link.
It's like it's never ending. Like Twitter to me is just fun, and I've met the most incredible people all over the world. I'm going to China to see people I've met in China, but I think all these things they keep coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it at all.
I have a great comment for that.
But isn't it part of innovation, though? Let's show this, and I'm going to get back to individual people, but isn't it a form of innovation or evolution to continually refine? I did!
It is a form of innovation. And it would be actually good for companies, bigger companies. There is a useful purpose for the list. I just am not in love with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say this. Like I said, the work thing is really what's gotten to me. It's like I started creating lists, like being kind of, let me just get people that I like together, so that at least those people can see that these are other people that I'm a common denominator of.
That's what I did. I did just one list. I did exactly the same thing. I did one list with like 400 people, and I call it my Twimmies because that's a mix of Twitter and Ami, in friends in French, So that's my Twimmies, and that's the only list I have. Exactly the same.
Yeah, I have a list called My Real Family, and that list is basically everybody in my cell phone. So those people that are in my cell phone that are on Twitter, it's like, okay, I'm the common denominator amongst you however, 98 people. You guys need to talk to each other. That's how I look at my list. And hopefully
Yep, go ahead, Chad.
I want to point out the obvious. Oops, what's wrong with her phone now?
Okay.
I want to point out the obvious. The obvious is that you can't make a negative list.
Mm-hmm.
You wish to follow. If you get on a negative list, you unfollow the person and you're off the list.
No. You don't understand. It's not possible to make a negative list because any list you make, guess who's the first person on the list? So if you make a list of assholes,
yourself.
You're the first person
yourself.
On the list.
You're the first asshole.
Yeah,
I think I'm making one right now. And I'm going to put us all on it.
You know what? You can't make a negative list. Chad, you always
That's
cut through.
Why
you always.
No negative list. That's
I'm
why
sorry.
Negative
list.
I have
a really funny. Stand up. I'm going to have to disagree with you, sweetheart, because I actually blocked somebody. I saw that I had some new people add me, and on lists, there were more numbers there, and I went and looked, and I had somebody who was following me who I don't know, who has a private account who I've never seen a tweet from,
ever.
Who I have no, ever, I've never, it's a closed, it's a private account, I've never seen a tweet from this person,
mm-hmm.
I don't follow them. And I was on a list called Kinkers, and I was like, okay, goodbye. Yeah, it's like, okay, block.
Yeah, I wonder if the robots are going to start doing lists of people that aren't.
They already did.
Yeah, that you're not.
Yeah, I don't have robots.
They have.
Oh, boy.
Well, and again, that's probably a way to really hone in the marketing aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Kelvin, just want to see what brought you to Twitter, and also, what do you think about the list, Kelvin?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Have you seen my list?
I like your list, Calvin.
I want to be on all your
list. Do I like the names of his list? Calvin has some great list names.
Everybody wants to be on my Too Sexy for Your T-shirt.
That's true, we do.
Too Sexy for Your shirt. Too Sexy for Your T-shirt. Oh, I have a name for that T-shirt. I like one of your lists.
I want to be a comic book geek. That's all I
mean. Just being spoken right now.
You do have good list names.
Yeah. Great.
It's really more for fun than anything else, really.
Yeah.
It's more for fun for you?
Yeah.
It's like grouping the people that I know that find that funny in that group.
Mm.
Also, I kind of like my buddy list.
Mm-hmm.
Like
can you have a list called narcissism and just have your own and just have you in there?
have a follow Friday list with yourself in it.
That's right. Follow Friday. I have two lists. I have follow Friday and narcissism, and I'm the only guy in there.
For Kelvin. Kelvin, with these lists, because you work with branding of companies, and you've actually won some. Design studio has won some awards. Do you think that lists have any place in branding or, let's say, in marketing?
Yeah, I think it does because people are going to look through whatever you have. If you're influential, I guess they're going to look through your list to see who's on there.
Mm-hmm.
A company will try to be on there, I guess, try to get on there and some funny business or try to monopolize on that somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't
Good
know
point.
Somebody just put me on another list.
Hopefully it's not the shit list. Did I say that on Blog Talk Radio? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That was so bad.
So, Kirsten, what about you? What brought you to Twitter, and what do you think about the lists? And are you using them? Do you love them? Do you hate them?
I like being on them. I really, really like being on them. I have, like, maybe 10, 15 people on my list. I have, like, 10, 12 different lists. I did do one interesting thing with the list today, though. I had been on Drew Olenoff's site, Blame Drew's Cancer theme, and shamanic healer and magician from 140 and Nomadex conferences. And I had been looking for a list of people who I guess he's called the list now Cancer Crushers, people who have fought battles with cancer, are fighting battles with cancer. Mm. And I think for nonprofits, I think for people that want to connect in deep, meaningful ways with a community virtually, that list can be a very good meta filter. Because it is, when I started on Twitter, I have to confess, I came from Facebook. I started on Facebook. Oh, yes. But the second I tweeted, I was converted instantly. I mean, I was like, oh my God, these are my peeps. This is it. This is my home. Oh, all the creepiness gone. All the boring Zynga gone. Intellectual, spiritual truth. And oh, I was like going back to grad school. It was just so amazing. It just filled a need, a deep thirst I had for satisfying my intellectual curiosity, weighing in on things, being involved, being engaged. I had really missed that professionally. So for me, Twitter, it's very magical, and it has just been a really amazing journey for me. I don't sell anything to anyone. I don't charge anyone any money to do anything. I'm a mythologist. It's kind of a mysterious title, and I just started tweeting, and somehow I got followers. Like I said, it's just being me, or just being passionate about communicating and learning and exposing myself to new ideas and playing with this new medium. And the people on Facebook was like, huh, what? I have almost no crossover in my Venn diagram of Facebook and Twitter. I think because of people cross-marketing a little bit from Twitter to Facebook, because they want to be available to all people, that there's getting some crossover back from Twitter for people who have fan pages on Facebook, but people think they don't understand tweets. It's like a foreign language to them or something. I get lots of kind of question marks or raised eyebrows. Like, what are you speaking? And somehow I speak this authentic tweet, whatever that is, or funny tweet, or retweet something interesting tweet. And giving good tweet, I think, is instinctive, and it's fun, and it's something to play with,
Subscribe
to the Tantric
Festival. We have a whole audience that wants good tweet now.
I do not subscribe to Tantric tweeting, though. I give my love away.
It's only energetic. It's only for the subtle energy.
Lots of tweet. I'm a bit chatty. I love it. It's fun. The speed, the interaction. Yeah.
Be one with your tweet.
Yeah.
I think I had one the other day. I put a tweet out that just said, it said, be one with the oneness and wear clean underwear because you never know.
I think I retweeted that.
I think I did too.
That's how weird my tweets are.
Okay. Well, Beth, let me ask you about your connecting via Twitter, how you got to Twitter, and what you are also thinking about those lists.
I love, first of all, I love to talk, and I'm crazy and wild, and I think that kind of, seriously, I think I shocked people at the 140 conference. People were like, oh, my God, who is that woman? but I'm okay because that's who I am.
I resemble that comment.
I do, too. I resemble that remark very well. But I was on Facebook, and so I have two kids who follow me on Facebook and who follow me on Twitter. Both of them, my daughter's 20 and 17. And I tweet with them, and some people are like, what? Are you crazy? I'm like, no, they know who I am. I've got nothing to hide. And I really got involved kind of to connect with my kids. And as from a business perspective, I felt I had to. Wow. That just began into this unbelievable addiction of my life, which is Twitter. And I am absolutely addicted. And I spend, I don't even want to admit how many hours a day. Hours. People literally will ask me, how many hours a day are you on Twitter? I'm like, more than I
all
sleep.
All you got to do is the number of your
tweets. More than I sleep.
Oh, who's counting?
Seriously, who's counting? And I just love it. From a personal perspective of retweeting my daughter, who just it makes me laugh, and she retweets me, and to meeting people all across the globe. But I've met people that I work with whatever, in Australia and you know, different countries, and I think it's just, it's phenomenal. I've met these two women who have this television show over in London, and they're just hilarious. They were on top of like one of the big British buses, and they were like taking me across a tour in a DM tweet across to London because I'd never been there. You know, I mean, it is the greatest and most incredible thing that just makes me feel great about me. And since it's all about me, you know, I mean, I think that it's just...
It is about everybody, even if they really don't think so.
It is. If you're so passionate about it, I don't really care what anybody else thinks or if they get it or not. There are people that get it. There are people that don't get it.
Yeah.
As for the lists, you know what? I think it's interesting. I have two lists I put together. I haven't even had time to think about doing any more, to be honest with you. It's very time-consuming because, I get into this whole, I'm going to forget somebody and I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. So you know what? I'm just not even going to do it because they're going to, you know, someone's going to get mad at me. So I'd just rather not have that negative energy around me. So
that's how I feel.
You know, so that's kind of my thought.
I think some people are good listers, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And Beth, I love what you say about it, at some point you just really care, because I know for me with Twitter at one point, it just, something came, well, it was actually when I was first really on, or like 2 or 3 months afterwards, that I thought, mm-hmm. You know what, it doesn't really matter.
No.
Who's hearing me? Because I'm at the beach meditating, and I'm tweeting my thoughts and what I think and I feel, and I know it's going somewhere, and that's all that matters. And then, you know, people respond back, that's fine, but if not, it's somewhere. You know,
yeah.
There's a destination. It's like the echo. You know, because the echo goes
right.
out, right? And but it bounces, it doesn't, where does it go?
It's a big vortex.
But, you know, you're archived somewhere. And I feel that it's very freeing. It's very empowering. And then you naturally begin to connect with people that are really resonating with you and you're resonating with,
mm-hmm.
if that is your intention, just to express. To create. If that's your actual intention, then you naturally draw people that really are resonating to you. It's not a forced, or as you said, Beth, you said earlier, that pushing.
It is.
You know, the interrupted marketing.
Yep.
Good point. Scott?
Yeah.
I would ask you. Yes. what about, okay, for you, Twitter, what drew you to Twitter? How did you get to Twitter, and what do you think about the list, and are you using the list?
Okay. I have an interesting story. I'll try and keep it as short as possible. I was on Twitter before anybody ever talked about it because I took a course a long time ago, a free course called the 30-Day Challenge, probably, I want to say, like back in 2007 or something like that, whenever Twitter came out, like literally within the first month or two it ever came out.
Excuse me.
And Ed Dale said, you know, get on Facebook and get on Twitter. And I literally, that's why I have the name The Entertainer on here, because I was like, I didn't even want to use my real name. I didn't want to use a picture. I wasn't on the internet, and I didn't get it at all. And so I was on here for like a year, and I think I had like one tweet, and people kept following me. I'm like, who are you? It's like, why do I want to hear about you eating your grilled cheese sandwich? I really don't care. Please go away.
Really?
And,
I never see those. Not those kind of people. Okay.
Now I do, but I didn't get it back then. So I was on Facebook, and then I, you know, eventually got my courage up and made a ton of great friends on Facebook, and I just thought it was the coolest thing on the planet. You know, it's like got friends in Denmark and Australia and Japan, and just having these great conversations and building that tribe, like we were talking about, that just kind of gravitated up through the ground of people that were just on this place. They just wanted to be authentic. They just wanted to create community. They just wanted to build a really cool, high-energy tribe. And then I don't even remember when, I just started slowly shifting over to Twitter, and I bought into the group consciousness. I won't name all the cool high-tech dudes. I started following all the high-tech dudes and tweeting what they were doing, and I wanted to throw up. And I don't mean that rudely, because I mean I love tech and I love business, but at one point when I was mimicking, and this is why that whole just do you thing again, because I went through this. I walk the talk of my stuff that I go through. I went through that where I was imitating what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And one day I just started going, you know what? My purpose and my mission are all about evolution and humor and you know, personal growth and spiritual growth and talking about, like, really deep, cool things about life and being nutty about it. And once I started doing that, it all started to unfold and the addiction began. And it was just amazing. And it's like, it was like friendship at like mock speed. You know, it's like on Facebook, it's like, you know, okay, here's a wall comment. I'll wait a week till the person gets back to me. It's like on Twitter, it's like, literally, I'm like, how did you answer me? I didn't even hit send yet, dude. And so, you know, once I found my voice, and, you know, like Michelle, like you said, to me, I literally just sit here and just, I mean, I had one series of tweets I remember were literally channeled, and I just blopped out like 12 tweets, and they went so freaking viral because it was like, it wasn't even for me. It was just this crazy stuff that was coming in. And so once I started doing that, I just fell in love with Twitter. And I think it's the coolest thing. You know, it's good for a lonely guy like me who's like hanging out by himself.
Hey, listen, everybody has that side, no matter how busy you are or how much friends or family.
That's right. We're still sitting on the computer.
I want to interject here because I think you brought up a really good point. And we can start with you, Scott, and then go around the panel. I want to just do a little interjection here. Why do you think Twitter is taking off so much? Because clearly the other main social media, and especially we won't go into about friend feed, but we all know what's happening in regards to that, is so stagnant and is stuck. What makes Twitter have the synergistic connections, synchronistic connections, meaningful connections in the stream where there's an energy to it and other forms or sites of social media don't have this movement? Anybody have a thought
there? I think it's the closest thing to a real-life conversation. It's real time. It's like there's energy. Like I just saw Lori tweet, okay? I just saw Lori tweet, so it's like, you know, I know she's on the phone. I just saw her tweet. I feel her energy. It's like it's different than going on Facebook and putting a note and looking for your comments like the next couple of days. So to me, it's like tapping in. It's tapping into, you know, that energy and that vibration. And it's a little weird too in some ways because, you know, like I'm looking at Russell Simmons' picture right now and I'm like, but it's just a picture. But it's like I know he's behind there.
But there's an energy, and so that's what I want to know. What makes that difference? Because I agree, there is an energy and a synergy that you can feel. I had been, as well as, like you, Scott, I had been on Twitter for a while and just doing it here and there, and actually a student from one of my meditation classes had been tweeting actually my book and some quotes from my book and said, oh, yeah, people are really liking what you're saying. And I went, what do you mean saying? And he goes, oh, yeah, I've been tweeting, you know, your quotes in your book and people are into meditation. So he introduced me on, you know, to his peeps or tweets on Follow Friday. Let me tell you, the next day I'm tweeting in my sleep. I'm like, I felt this energy, this rush. And I went, woo, wait a minute. What's happening here?
The other thing, because I don't want to steal the conversation, but I think the other thing in it, really, I think it's cool and hip. Whereas, you know, Facebook is a really great place and it has its place and I love it and I still interact there a lot. But it's kind of like, you know, it feels a little not as cool. This is like,
but now remember,
like
Facebook
cool
was created, it, you know,
for college.
Was it Harvard?
Yeah.
And it's Facebook. It was about, you know, kind of hooking up, meeting people. It's kind of like the yearbook kind of energy. And the intention behind Twitter definitely was simply about connecting.
Yeah.
But Twitter has that bit of instant gratification. Tweet out there and you get a reply right away. And then because I was kind of on Twitter in the shortly after it started, it evolved so that then we could get apps and you could instantly reply, but if I was busy, I could still go to my app stream and see what you replied and respond back. So it started putting it in, it, like I said, like this universal chat room, you know, that we can chat with somebody in Europe, in Australia,
Do you think that makes a difference? Do you think that makes a difference, as Jeff Pulver says, in the now moment, which he was going to call
it? It's in the now, in the moment, and it personalizes our lives. You know, it's like friends I have in Australia are no longer faceless people.
Mm-hmm.
They're somebody with an energy, a personality, a form of caring. And so it really has taken caring international.
And
it's like we saw with Iran and the elections.
Oh,
You know, we stepped in, we cared, we were supportive to people that, you know, sometimes think we're the enemy, but we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to cross those boundaries. We get to be human, and we get to love.
So, but what makes it, I guess, more relevant than the other social media? Do you think it's that instant gratification?
Gratification, that instant there. It goes to your phone. It's on your laptop. It started with text messaging. So it was instantly connected with that device that you have in your purse, in your pocket, on your hip, in your car. And you could take Twitter with you wherever you went, and that caught on like fire. Facebook wasn't on your phone.
Now, and I think Twitter, too, like even if you go back to like energy and the positive energy, right, that comes from that, it's all if you think about, or, you know, I'll speak for my personally, myself, this is us. My email box, right? If you think about email, someone sends you an email, and you have to respond to that, right? So if Lori sends me an email, no matter what I'm doing, right, always in my mind is, I need to get back to Lori, or something, you know.
Yeah.
And as they pile up, no matter what I'm doing, I could be doing 100 million things. I have hundreds and hundreds of emails. Now there's this negative energy and about me and email, and I'm serious. My email box, I loathe it, because every time I go there, I know there's 200 messages that I've got to respond to, and someone's going to be mad if I don't get back to it. If it's Twitter, and if someone sends me a tweet, and if I don't answer them, it's just Twitter. They're okay. It's all right. There's other people in the stream.
I know. I feel guilty about that sometimes, too, but it's
just
hard.
Love that.
To answer everybody.
But you know what? You bring a good point, Beth, because if it's Twitter, number one, there is, you can answer, there's the protocol, the etiquette, that it can be in a shorter format. Email, it still has to be a little formalized.
Yeah.
And also what you said, there are other people in the stream that can attend to that person in that moment.
There's
other people there, you know?
Right. You know, it's funny that you say that.
Yeah, who's it?
This is K-Dub. The connection that occurs. Like, for example, here's a practical example. I'm on this conversation, and within the last 5 minutes, I'm now following Mayhem Studios, Dr. Remy, and Kirstie.
What happened to me?
Is that me?
That was just from one quick tweet. I see this tweet.
Wait, hold on, let me find the unfollow button. Michelle. Good man, just kidding.
But there is that instant gratification, but there's also a higher ceiling to that instant gratification. It's not like, okay, I have it now, and I went and bought the energy bar, and it came and it gave me the quick blast, and now it's gone. Now it's something that's permanent. It's something that can be nurtured, and it's something that can be built into something, you know, bigger than what it starts off as. It's the seed that now has the opportunity to grow.
I like that. Chad, any thoughts on this? Why we like Twitter more? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think there is, because yesterday I was in Safeway buying something, and a thought came to me that something about if you
oh, if you cannot afford to do the right thing, then you are truly poor. And this is just walking through the aisles, okay? And because I have the phone, because I can send this out immediately, when I get home, I see that 5-10 people have sent that out again. But more importantly, though, even when I'm out and there, I still know that there are people that are connected to that real-time thought that I'm having. And I'm not going to remember that in 10 minutes. I don't remember anything intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to remember that. And the ability to put that out into the stream and have other people not just respond to it, but react to it. Because when they hear that, maybe that is that little shift in their thoughts that they say, well, I've never thought about it that way, and maybe things start to change. And that's kind of like the idea that I really appreciate about Twitter, and I think it provides it in real time, like everyone has stated, and it provides it in a way where not just can you get real time feedback, because I got a cheap phone. I can't even get feedback. I can't even get at replies on my phone. I just have to, you know. But I know that I can share, I can broadcast the thoughts I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's just a different animal. It's just a different animal altogether. It is. It's that piece that everyone's saying, like you could be out anywhere. I mean, that's a Twitter. I think the whole microblog thing is cool because like on Facebook, you know, it seemed like in some ways you had to go out and do a little more typing, and it was definitely slower.
Yeah.
But it's like here, you could literally just like, I mean, sometimes I'll just put out a word that I'm inspired, like I just got something in my consciousness, and I'll put like grow, and I'll just like, you know, throw grow out in the stream or something like that. And it's like you're just, it's like you're tapping in to higher consciousness, and then you're throwing it into the group consciousness, and it's just, and it does what it may. It's like you said, it kind of gets archived into eternity here, which isn't always good if you say weird things, but...
But maybe somebody needs to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
I think that,
it's like instantly being able to share a piece of your life.
Right.
And and allow others to be that part with you. This is Sam, honey.
Oh, Sam.
So
hi, Sam.
Hi, sweetheart. It's that instant sharing. And you know, there are those that have tons of good information to share. And you get to hook up and connect with that. And so whether somebody's at Safeway or whatever, when they get hit with that inspiring thought, it's instant. You can on your phone or, you know, I've been guilty of using Utterly, you know, and 'cause when you're driving, you know, you're not supposed to tweet. Not that I've never done that, of course.
Right.
You know, but I would never do that really ever except for that one time but that was then. And
I'm guilty.
I don't want to see later, you know, I don't want to see later on the news somewhere so and so was caught tweeting on driving. But you know, it's like with Utterly or you know, you can send in instantly your thoughts. And it can be one of those inspirational thoughts that actually help everybody, or something funny, or something from a part of your day that really made an impact on you that can make an impact on others, or just a sharing or a caring. It just, it goes back to being universal. And
now let me ask you, Sam, do you think because it is that instantaneous or spontaneous, do you feel that that makes the tweet or can potentially make it more authentic?
I think it's the person behind the tweet that makes it authentic because there are manipulators and controllers and BSers and shifters that can also, and self-sabotagers, you know, people that are learning and growing still, and drama queens and kings and So
clearly like high school, what you're saying.
Yeah, well, you know, there is high school on Twitter, sadly. and junior high. And
all the ages and stages
of emotional mentality and lack of mentality are all there and available. Do you want to support somebody's insecurity or do you want to support somebody's growth? It's all there. I've seen both sides of it.
It's life. It's life. It's that slice of life thing again.
It's the slice of life, and it's open and public, and everybody gets to look into a window of everybody's life and decide, oh, I want to spend some time with her, or I think I'm going to stay away from him. You know, so it gives you choice. But, yeah, it is that it's that instant connection, and it can work for you or it can work against you. It just, again, that comes from your place of authenticity, and people can't fake whether they're confident or insecure or if they're growing or if they're evolving. You know, it only lasts for so long.
Good point. Kirsten, any thoughts for you? How did you come to Twitter?
And well, I did already admit my Facebook addiction. That was my gateway. Social media was Facebook, and Twitter is my
primary.
I like the idea of stream. I like the idea of tossing. I mean, there's a lot of water and metaphor that's going on, and ocean and all-encompassing, and I like the idea of we really like to talk about it as a stream, and we put our thoughts into it, and they travel down. They're carried away from us, and we're not really controlling them anymore. And we don't really know what they're going to grow up to be, but we know maybe someone will adopt them. Maybe they will crash up on the shore. Maybe they'll go all the way to the ocean. We don't really know what's going to happen to them. But it's like just offering it up. You know, it's like an offering in a, you know, in a sacred sense.
That's really cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to look at it. And I like what you say, too, because you don't – it's going somewhere, but where it goes or how it's used on some level really – doesn't need to be our concern.
You don't have control of it. The tide has
it.
No, you really don't have control of it. I mean, that's the real truth.
You have to let it go.
You
let it go. You release it.
It's going to mean something different to each person that receives it, because everybody will process differently at their own level of where they are in their life.
You know what's interesting, too, because this is such a conscious conversation that it brings back a thought. I had a Native American teacher that I studied with for 8 years in Chicago. And, that's right, I'm from Chicago.
Shamanic apprentices in the house.
I grew up in Glencoe.
I'm trained here, too. Well.
So
I say with the shamanic, we're just claiming, testifying to that.
she always told me that, and she told our group, that once you're awakened, there's different levels of awakening, obviously, and that's a whole other 2-hour radio show. But some people are in spiritual kindergarten, some are more elevated, some are whatever. It's not an ego thing. But the main part is once you're awake and once you have some consciousness and some awareness of what you're doing, now it becomes kind of a spiritual responsibility of what are you putting out there. Because if you're putting out trash, it is energy, and you are polluting the overall universe, if you will, the global structure of all of us that are connected. And so it's becoming aware of what are you putting out there. You know, and they always tell us, it's like, you know, if you're throwing out a bunch of trash, you know, think about what you're doing, because it's like that's not helping yourself or anyone else evolve if you're throwing out a bunch of crap. But if you're aware of what you're putting out there and its consequences, then we're all doing the best we can, right? So we make mistakes and we evolve and we grow. But it's just an interesting thing that I realized that, because there are so many different people doing so many different things on it, but when you're on a call like this, it makes you think, you know, to be aware of what you're putting out there. In my long roundabout.
And how many of you, and I don't know what the metaphor would be because we're talking stream, but I'm hearing pruning. What do you think of pruning your stream? Or do you?
Taking out the trash. Recycling.
Do you do that? Do you look and see, ooh, I don't want that vibe, or I'm not, you know.
Yes.
All the time. Absolutely.
Okay. You know, I have several listings, and one listing that is more work-related, I allow more to happen there. But in my private personal, in Blonde by Design, I prune, mm-hmm. baby. I, you know yes. what? It's my time. It's my time to share, my time to make friends. I want real people. I want people that are honest and really want to bring themselves to the table and aren't hiding things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to be talking behind other people's backs or being dishonest or playing games, I don't want you on my list. You can be
Donald
person.
Trump all day.
Yeah, you could be a great person.
White teeth, white teeth.
But,
coming to a town near
know,
you, yeah.
Yeah, I want reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that brings up another interesting question from a marketing standpoint or even I shouldn't even use the word marketing necessarily, but even more from a perspective of if you're trying to, you know, serve a broad audience, a big audience, that gets to be challenging because, like, you know, I have a lot of followers and I follow a lot of people back, and obviously we can't watch everybody at the same time. And there's a part of me that wants to pull the plug and strip away and start over and just kind of, you know, tap in with that handful of people. But what I've noticed is, number one, you don't know who you don't know and you don't know what you don't know. And what I often find is I'm starting to find people talking and retweeting and coming to me that I never knew were even there originally.
Right, because everybody
that I'm able to serve that I wouldn't have been able to serve if I didn't kind of have the broader numbers. And once I started seeing that, you start seeing those follow Fridays and people retweeting your stuff and talking about and putting you on lists and whatever, then you start realizing, you know what? It does pay. Like, I always like to have that core group of people that I connect with, but you never know what life you're touching. Like, I've had people come on and tweet me back, that come back and say, you know what? I was having the worst day ever, and
exactly.
that tweet made my day.
Exactly.
And it's like, I didn't even know that person was following me. And when I do stuff like that, I always say, you know what? You never know who's listening. You never know who you can help.
I have a rule of responding to all ats. If someone ats me, whether there's someone on my list or not, I take the time to respond to them, whether it's to say thank you, to give a hug, or to respond to what they've asked me.
So what's the balance here then, everyone? What is the balance between, you know, a synergistic core group that you're following and is following you, and then those that perhaps, like Scott is saying, you don't know how they're going to touch you or reach you or how you're reaching or touching them or affecting them?
I think one of the interesting things about the lists, right, that are not my favorite, is I have found that many people, you know, I think, Chad, it was just you that was just talking to your point, have put me on lists, and believe me, I'm not on a ton, or nor do I care, that I don't really converse with. But they obviously find value in whatever it is I'm tweeting. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, I
Chad,
can
any
say-
thought on this? Or the real guy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I have my own creations in the forms of my music that I actively make people aware of, but that I don't have for sale. And there's a reason behind that, because the people that I'm trying to work with and the people that I'm trying to attract into working with me in creating music, I post my links to my radio station in order to let the people that I know that are following me, because they are looking at my work ethic, they're looking at the quality of music that I put out, how often I do it, and making judgments about me based upon those types of things. And that's what has really opened the doors for me to really do some great business, to be honest with you, because I'm able to communicate a certain number of things about how I handle myself professionally as a producer that has attracted the people that want my service,
mm-hmm.
and that want my participation, which consequently leads to other opportunities because now I'm on a different level of communication with these people because I've been able to establish a comfort level with not just my overall level of expressions about all the things I may comment and all the silly jokes I make. What I found is that when people are locked in and they're looking for or they're being attracted to a certain thing about me, that's what they're focused on. They're not really focused on the other things. It's something about something I've tweeted or they've had a chance to click on the link and hear my music and it's something that's caught their ear. And now there's a different level of communication I'm able to have with this person without ever having had to have a conversation with them. So that by the time I do have a conversation with them, it actually has substance.
Right. So it goes back to authenticity. So just in our remaining seconds, and we'll go over in the stream a little bit. First of all, I want to thank all of you. This has been great. And I, you know, tweet with all of you interactively and appreciate all of you individually and collectively what you're bringing here to all those that are going to listen. So I just want to go through, Lori, anything that you want to say or how people can reach you, Lori Moreno, anything that you'd like to share in our remaining seconds here?
I love Twitter, and I've made the most incredible friends, and it's been totally life-changing. I just totally never expected the impact, especially with what I've dealt with in the past year and the love I've gotten. I can't even believe it. It's just been so fascinating.
Thank you. And Kirsten Mitchell, anything love. You want to share or how to reach you?
Love. I love
it. Put that great intention out.
Love.
Offer it up. Put out the positive and let it flow away.
Oh, love it. Chad?
Just say that treat others as you wish them to retweet you because they're going to. I see people mad on Twitter, and it's always great to speak with you on air or in the stream. We'll be doing both more, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And Beth?
Way
to reach you. Anything you want to say and way to reach you?
Way to reach me? Well, you guys can tweet me. I'm on Twitter a lot, always. For business, for personal, for every purpose under the sun. You know, I guess what I always just kind of love to leave with is, you know what, engage, communicate, interact, and don't intrude, right?
I like that. Yeah, there may be people listening because we air, well, streaming, restreaming, rebroadcasting now because this is bonus program, but from two different stations and about 15 podcast stations at iTunes. So if there's anything that you want people to know or how to reach you, go now is the time to say
well,
so.
I'd like to say if anyone ever needs love or encouragement, like what Chad was saying, I get tweets every day that people will tell me or DMs, I was ready to give up and then I read one of your tweets. So if anybody ever needs any encouragement, love, it can be through a DM, a tweet. Always feel free to contact me, Lori Moreno, anytime.
Wonderful. And Calvin Lee from Mayhem Studios, anything you want to share, let people know how they can reach you?
They can go to my Twitter page. There's all my info there. I want to say love Twitter.
Okay.
And Twitter loves you.
Yes. And Sam?
And if you want to try to meet people in person, if you can.
Oh, I like, yeah.
Yeah, TweetUps.
Yeah.
That's TweetUps Connect. Connect in real life. Connect online. And be the same person in real life as you are online. And have that integration of online and real life. And I guess, you know, it's like if anybody is seriously needing help making a transition in their life, then DM me and that's a whole other private world. But the biggest thing is step outside of yourself and care.
Okay. And what's your contact?
Love,
what can they can?
How can they reach you?
If they can, if they just DM me through or at me at Blonde by Design, I can filter them to the right direction.
Perfect. At Blonde by Design. Perfect. And Scott?
I echo really the whole thing about just whoever you are, whatever that is, just do you, as the old saying goes, and let that shine through with your tweets and how you interact with people, and just be completely authentic. It's the only way to go. You can follow me or talk to me on Twitter at The Entertainer, and one of my sites you can check out is livinginahumansuit.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Any last thoughts, anybody?
This was awesome.
This was awesome.
Yeah. Lucky lady to gather so many amazing people together.
Oh, I love it. I am just amazed.
Awake.
I am so appreciative. And also, Chad had, well, Kirsty had a, you know, at Kirsty, Kirsten Mitchell had a hand in this. And Chad, ICP Chad. They're co-conspirers in this. Come on, you guys, fess up.
Troublemakers.
I wanted to do this.
We're supposed to only talk in 140 characters.
We're all in this together.
That's right.
Well, I say we have a pajama party.
Yay!
We are having one.
We are having one. A virtual pajama party.
That's right. That's right. And for all the, all I can say is for the. For the local LA people, we definitely got to hang. And for the ones that aren't in LA, get your butt down here. Hurry up.
Yeah. I'm coming.
Back in January.
All right.
I'll be in LA in December, you guys.
Excellent. Excellent.
Great. Well, I want to thank everyone, this Awake Aware panel, very progressive, great insight and information. And all of you that are listening later in the archives all over the world and listening, you know, via iTunes, if anyone you've resonated with or you want more information, you can go to the Awakenings show description page, and there will be the contact information of the panel that spoke here and share their insight and wisdom. And again, I thank all of you, and I wish you much peace, love, and light. Until next time, keep awake. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Love you.
Yeah. See you in the stream.
Love.
See you in the stream.
Love you.
Love you. Lots of love.
Love you.
Love.
Love you.
Love.
Bye.
You in that stream.
And giggles and hugs.
And giggles and hugs, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Thank all of my guests, my compadres, my co-conspirators, and fellow. Until next time.